We have four scriptures this morning. They come from the writer of Hebrews, from the Apostle Paul in Romans, from Jesus, and from Peter. And one of the things that ties all these scriptures together is that they are all encouragements about living out our faith. Hebrews and Romans and 1 Peter give us that encouragement in short sayings and concise but powerful sentences. And Jesus in Matthew gives us a parable. So the first scripture is from Hebrews 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And from Romans 12, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. And then turning to Matthew, a parable that Jesus gives. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food or thirsty and something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, I tell you truly, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And last, from 1 Peter chapter 4. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift that each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And may God bless to our understanding this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Good morning. God, just be with us in this time that we have to worship you, to praise you, to offer our thanks to you, to bring our concerns to you, to bring our lives to you. We just open ourselves to you that we would understand these scriptures and the words that I am to share today, that we would come to live as you have called us to live. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as we begin this fall season, our theme is the fruit of the Spirit. Because we have a number of different speakers come in and share messages, we will ask each of them to consider addressing the fruit of the Spirit as a part of their message. We've heard this passage about the fruit of the Spirit many times, and it's provided a structure for Bible studies and workshops and seminars through the years. A brief reminder of this passage from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. I always think that's such a humorous thing to add. There's nothing wrong with those things. These are okay. Well, one of the lectionary passages from today is from Hebrews, and it happens to be one of my favorites. So it's been a great joy and blessing to ponder this for the past several weeks and put these thoughts together to share. Thinking about hospitality, talking to strangers, and angels seems to fit well with the fruit of the Spirit. For it includes pretty much all of these attributes. Being welcoming to strangers includes love and joy and peace and patience often and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. My first encounter in talking with strangers who happened to be angels happened at a very impressionable time of my life. I was 7 years old, May of 1956, and we were living in Fairview, Kansas, and my grandfather, who had been living in Denver, had died, and we were going to his funeral. And I can't explain why we did this. It could be because our car was not very dependable, but we decided, my mother, father, and one of my sisters decided to take the bus from Fairview, Kansas to Denver. And it was going to be through the night, and we were going to change buses in Phillipsburg, Kansas. And so we take off, and we needed to be there the next day. For some reason, again, I can't explain why this was, but this is the circumstance. We're going to take the bus through the night, get to Denver for the funeral the next afternoon. Well, it was very stormy. It's a dark and stormy night. And as we got to Phillipsburg, which there's not much there now, and there wasn't much there then. That's where we were going to change buses and take the bus on to Denver. Well, because of the storm, the bus had left before we got there. And so we are stranded in Phillipsburg, Kansas. And although Hertz was very willing to put you in the driver's seat, they weren't in Phillipsburg, Kansas. You remember that TV ad? Hertz will put you in the driver's seat. No rental car. So it's about 2 a.m. and we're in Phillipsburg. And in those days, I don't know if you remember, but the bus stations were in hotels very often. Well, we were in a hotel lobby, and my mother, who was not a shy woman, is there a rental car? No. Is there a train? No. We didn't think about planes because we couldn't afford one. When is the next bus? Well, it will be tomorrow night. Well, that's not going to work. So here are four of us in a lobby in a hotel in Phillipsburg at 2 a.m. trying to get to Denver. And I remember very clearly as we were there, prayers were being lifted up. What in the world are we going to do? We have no car. We have no means of getting anywhere. And I remember the man who comes walking down the stairs into the hotel lobby with a suitcase in his hand. And my mom says to him, "Where are you? Hi, sir. Where are you going?" And he says, "I'm going to Denver." Okay, there's four of us and one man with a car. And of course she says, "Can we get a ride with you?" And he says, "Sure." And he said, well, how many of us could you take? And he says, "Well, I'm driving a school bus." "So I can take all of you." And we said, "Well, how fortunate is this?" So we all load up, and as we get on, my dad says, "I'm Reverend Kochner," and he says, "I'm Reverend so-and-so." And he had been taking the school bus. He was delivering to a church in Albuquerque. And because of the storm, he had stopped early to get some rest. And he was not going to go down through Wichita, southern Kansas. Because of the storm, he was going to go to Denver, and he needed to get an early start. And so he knew we were down there, and he did not. Somebody knew we needed a ride. And so we got to Denver in time for my grandfather's funeral. Well, at 7 years of age, this was a very impressionable moment. Here's a stranger who turned out to be an angel, and God provides. And boy, that stuck with me for a long time. So that was my first encounter with a stranger being an angel. So my family has benefited from the kindness of strangers many times through the years. As I worked in higher education for 30 years, I was often asked to give a speech to incoming students at orientation. And so early in my career, I developed a set of things that I thought I would share with students that I hoped that they would learn during the time that they were in college. And the first one was, unlearn an old lesson that you've been taught for most of your life. Don't talk to strangers. While you're in school, I hope you learn how to talk to strangers. And as a Christian, I believe that's one of the major messages of Jesus. Talk to strangers. The stranger, the better. Good Samaritan story. So I shared that message, and if you talk to my daughters, they have heard this many, many times, and they're all very good at talking to strangers. as are my grandchildren, who are military kids and have had to move a lot in their life. They have a well-developed sense of talking to strangers. So our passage is today, quickly again from Hebrews, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. From Romans, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. From Matthew, and the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And from 1 Peter, above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Now, I fully realize, and Susan reminds me of this every time we talk about this, that as we attempt to be Christ-like in this secular world, we must be wary of some strangers. We have to use good discernment. Not every stranger is an angel. We have some strangers approaching us that are far from being angels. Our secular world warns us, justifiably so. And in many cases, don't talk to strangers. It's a program for kids, stranger danger. Human trafficking certainly preys upon strangers. Calls from the phone from strangers, raising fears about your social security number's been compromised, your computer's been compromised, you've heard all of these. So we have a lot of fears about people who are strangers. Fears about people who are different than us. Strangers from a different race, from different religion, from different economic status, from different cultures. Strangers with different ways of thinking. Strangers with different goals and priorities, different lifestyles, different senses of responsibility. So in the midst of fears and warnings about strangers, how do we incorporate these words of Scripture into our lives? Instead of letting fear of people who are different from us lead us into isolation, how do we respond to this sacred call in a secular world? Michael Palin, you may remember from Monty Python. After he left, or after the group broke up, he did two series for BBC that were travelogues. I don't know if you happen to see him, Around the World in 80 Days with Michael Palin and Pole to Pole with Michael Palin. And in an interview with Outside Magazine, he was asked the question, to paraphrase a Monty Python movie title, what is the meaning of travel? And he says, to know the unknown. I'm not very good at accepting other people's word for what's out there. If I have half a chance, I want to see what the middle of Greenland looks like, see what Las Vegas looks like. And oddly enough, traveling gives me a greater sense of security. It's the opposite of the stay-at-home because you might get killed view of life. The more I know of the world and the people around me, the safer I feel. It's really a different way of thinking about strangers, isn't it? The more I know about them, the safer I feel. So rather than focus on strangers as dangerous people, we are called to spend time with people who are different than us so we can expand our understanding of the larger world. Martin Pike, in a very short essay that he wrote called Angels Unaware, says, in the letter to the Hebrews, we are not only encouraged to love one another, but admonished always to welcome strangers. It seems that some who have done this have entertained angels unaware. An angel as pictured in my mind when I was a boy would have stuck out like a sore thumb in any crowd, even a church. The wings, halo, and shining countenance would have been a dead giveaway.
In addition, the appearance of an angel would have frightened most of us out of our wits. We might have been more at ease with a stranger. It may be that this is the reason that all of the angels I have ever known have first appeared to me as strangers. Only later, after getting to know them better, did I discover they possessed those attributes that qualified them as messengers from the Lord God. After they got through being strangers and started being angels, it was no time at all until they were recognized as the kind of friends you would never want to be without. There are a lot more angels who in the beginning look like strangers than one might think. The next time you're in the presence of a stranger, extend the warmest greeting you can muster. Who knows what an angel might be about? If you take a look at the cover of the bulletin, you will find a picture of a smiling angel. Susan and I found this statue outside the cathedral in Reims, France. A postcard with a picture of this angel has the following words. You, the smiling angel, God's messenger, on whose face the stone carvers have expressed so well the very smile of God, to convey to all the beholders how much he loves them, how close he is to them. You, the smiling angel, you have overcome every destruction to become in our midst a sign of joyful and everlasting hope, that of reconciliation amongst mankind. We love that smiling angel. And we love it when they appear in our lives. As I've pondered this idea through the years, my thoughts have usually been on meeting strangers who turned out to be angels for me. Remember, the people that have become our best friends, our employers, our kindred spirits, our spiritual guides, and our life partners were all strangers before we met them. And in some cases, they turned out to be angels. My most recent thoughts on this have led me to think not about strangers coming into my life and turning out to be angels, but how we are also called to be the strangers and enter someone else's life, and how we are called to be angels on the behalf of God. Yes, we look forward to the kindness of strangers, but we are blessed when strangers turn out to be angels. Most of us are so humble that we don't see ourselves as angels, but we certainly can be, and we often are in ways that we don't even realize. Calling someone by name, visiting someone, writing a note at the right time, being available to help out with the ride at the last minute, seeing someone in need and lending a helping hand, encouraging someone, these are all opportunities to be an angel. Angels don't brag about their service or the kindness they have shared. They just share God's love and the fruit of the Spirit freely and expect nothing in return. My wife Susan is really good at responding to the nudge to be an angel. She listens when God tells her she has an opportunity to be an angel by calling someone, visiting someone, having coffee with someone, writing to someone, praying big prayers for someone, making a donation to someone, spending time with someone. I'm currently reading a wonderful book with the title Praying for Strangers, written by a woman who uses the moniker River Jordan. Now, I don't know if her parents really called her River Jordan, but that's the moniker she uses. She makes a resolution at the beginning of the year to pray for a new stranger every day. Think about that. And in most cases, she approaches a person and lets them know what she's doing and inform them that that person is her stranger for the day, that she's going to pray for. Not many of us would be bold enough to do this, but she goes about attempting to do this, and it requires her to be very open to the people she meets each day. And they're very short chapters, and they're about the stranger that enters her life that day and how she approaches them. And she shares usually the ones that say, thank you, I really needed someone to be praying for me today. She says, now every day I delve deeper into people's stories, and my heart feels like it's been turned inside out. It would have been easier never telling anyone what I was up to. But the lady at the bus station showed me how much it might mean to tell someone I'm praying for them. So I tried to do that. Not every day, but most days. I walk through crowds knowing that someone will stand out to me in a special way. It makes me notice people differently than I ever have. I mean, really notice them. I used to be a little more removed from the human race, unplugged and unmoved. I was just moving through my day, and it was simple. Now I'm watching everyone. Ponder that for a moment. If you really went through every day looking for people who you, looking for strangers who might need to be prayed for on that day. That's such a powerful image to me. God calls us to be hospitable to strangers, to welcome them as angels, and to be an angel to other strangers. All we need to do is respond to God's call. Several years ago at camp, we took the senior high kids into Red Lodge, and we divided in into groups of three or four each, and we gave each group $20. And the exercise was to find someone who might need to benefit from this. Approach them and give them this gift. Senior high kids. Looking for a stranger who might need to be, have someone be nice to them on that day. It really required some openness. Well, the three kids from Butte that all ended up being counselors for us years later, if you would talk to them to this day, they would remember this moment that they had at camp. Stephanan Costello, Becca Jones, and Tanner Robeson happened to be in a group. And they knew each other, and they said, oh, what are we going to do? Who are we going to approach? So they got together and they prayed. And as they walked around town, they happened to find a group home for people with disabilities in Red Lodge. And they approached them and they talked to them and they gave them this gift. And they were blessed by being the angels that day for them. And the people who received it were very, very appreciative. And I thought, I don't know why we haven't done that exercise again, because that's really a good one. It forces us to look around. Who are the strangers who need prayers today? Our book of order includes the following words when welcoming new members. A faithful member bears witness to God's love and grace and promises to be involved responsibly in the ministry of Christ Church. Such involvement includes, and it has a number of things, but these happen to address the issue of being kind to strangers. Such involvement includes proclaiming the good news in word and deed, lifting one another up in prayer, mutual concern, and active support, demonstrating a new quality of life within and through the church, responding to God's activity in the world through service to others, living responsibly in the personal, family, vocational, political, cultural, and social relationships of life, working in the world for peace, justice, freedom, and human fulfillment. In other words, respond to God's invitation to be an angel to both friends and strangers that come into your midst. And I couldn't talk without sharing a Camino story. And we may have shared this before. On the Camino, it presents so many opportunities to meet strangers. And often they do turn out to be angels. And to be angels for other strangers. Although you meet many people on the Camino, they all start out as strangers. You see them for a few minutes each day. Maybe walk with them for a short time, visit with them at a coffee break in the morning or in the afternoon. You might walk with them for a few minutes, but then your pace changes and they're away. But because you do that every day for 35 days, you end up seeing the same people again and they become friends. Susan and I walk together all day and we talk with folks off and on. But it's usually just she and I walking together. Well, one day as we left Soria, a city that's about 100 kilometers from Santiago and a popular starting point for people because they can get their certificate in Santiago if you walk at least 100 kilometers. A woman begins walking with us, and at one point she says, can I walk with you? And one of your thoughts is, my thought, sure, that'd be great. But it also is, well, that's not what you do on the Camino. You don't walk with the same person all day long. But that was her intent because she was new. She was a little scared. She didn't know the pace. She didn't know the drill. She needed some angelness, angels in her life, and she must have sensed some angelness in us. Imagine that. And so we said, yes, you may. And she did walk with us every step that day. She stopped at every coffee stop that we had. And we took pictures and we did this and that. And we ended up getting to Puerto Marin. And she happened to be in a different hotel that night. And then we didn't see her again. But she was an angel for me in that at the end of the Camino, if you would ask me, what were special moments? When a stranger comes up to you and says, can I walk with you? How often does that happen? That someone says to us, I need you to be nice to me today. And we have those opportunities. They may not be verbally said, as Gail said to us, but they might be expressed in other ways. I need an angel to be nice to me today. That's what we are called to through these scriptures, I believe. So I started this story talking about us engaging with the bus driver and saying, can we walk, can we ride with you? And he turning out to be a person who said, yes, come. I can take care of you today. I ended with a story of Gail saying, can I walk with you? I think Jesus did that through his entire life. Come and walk with me, and can I walk with you? So thoughts and questions to ponder from this. How can we become more Christ-like in seeking out, recognizing, and engaging with strangers that may be angels for us? What strangers have entered your life and turned out to be angels? When and how do we respond to God's call and become smiling angels in the lives of strangers that we encounter? Today, do you need an angel to walk with you? Or do you need to be an angel for someone else? It may depend on what is happening in your life at this particular moment or at this season of your life. Sometimes we need angels And sometimes we need to be angels. God be with us as we welcome strangers and angels into our lives. And God be with us as we strive to be your hands and feet and angels for those who need to feel your loving presence. Amen.